A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Ram, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 11, 1992, entitled, God Loves People. To be human is enough. The scripture readings are Psalm 103, verses 1 through 18, and Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. The texts for the sermon are Psalm 103, verse 14, and Romans 5, verse 8. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
God loves people, and to be human is enough, but it's been rather difficult for the church to be honest with that fact, because the church is also looked to as kind of the glue of society and the conservative ferment in the lump to hold things together and to keep things on the straight and narrow and to address that which is wrong with people and society. And so I think there's been a tension within the church in its preaching and its message, afraid if there was too warm and an embrace of the sinner, that it might appear to be a condoning of such behavior, and therefore there's this distancing and this body language that causes the church to withdraw just a bit from the person, contrary to some of us, who is exposed in who they really are. Some of us manage to keep the vestments on, or the mask intact, or the facade up, so that it never really comes to full expression and public demonstration. But really, if you scratch us, we're all pretty much the same. But in the church, we've sort of kept that illusion alive that there are some good folk and some not quite so good. And the church tends to become a society of the righteous because we do want to keep up our public image, particularly at church. Therefore, there's been a tension, I think, in the open embrace of the person who has fallen flat on their face and gotten muddied and tarnished in the process of living. But as a matter of fact, to the extent that we do withdraw or withhold or keep at arm's length any person in any condition, we are going contrary to the biblical message. For the biblical message is very clear, that God loves people, and to be human is enough. And to be human is to be a person filled with anxiety and torn with tension. That's simply endemic to our human situation. I love Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, the expression of the grace of God that grants us forgiveness, and the affirmation of the compassion of God that understands us thoroughly and loves us anyway. God knows our frame. God remembers that we are dust. Or God knows how we are formed. God remembers that we are clay. The psalmist, I suspect, is informed by that wonderful image in the second chapter of Genesis of God, the creator, the potter, who scoops a handful of mud and shapes a human being and breathes into that form the breath of life, creating a living soul. In the biblical account of creation, in the Hebrew understanding of the human person, we are linked to the earth. We are a part of this created order. We are of the earth, earthy. We speak of ourselves sometimes as earthlings, and that play on words conveys a truth. At the funeral yesterday at the committal, I said, earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. In the face of the reality of death, there is our recognition that we are not only shaped of the elements, the primal elements that are a part of this cosmos, but we ourselves finally are dissolved again into those elements. We are of the earth. Sometimes putting ourselves down, we say we feel cloddy, or looking judgmentally at another, we may say, oh, he's a clod or she's a clod. Well, there is a bit of reality in that, for we are clods. We are constituted of the stuff of the universe. And that is not only a physical reality, that is a spiritual truth. We are connected in that direction. Birkhoff in the Christian faith says there is a gravitational pull on us because we are a part of the earth, a part of that natural order. And the tension comes because that's not all we are. There is also that beckoning call from above. And so we are creatures who live in two worlds. We are part of the earth and part of that spiritual reality of God and the call of God to be in communion with the Spirit. I think that an honest biblical understanding of the human person should enable us to do, as Dr. Kurtz said a moment ago, to listen more sensitively and to speak more compassionately. Harold Ellens, in an article a few years ago in Perspectives, pictures the human person as full of anxiety, which he identifies not as a consequence of our sin, but as the consequence of being human. He calls it a generic anxiety, not something that we have encumbered ourselves with because of concrete behavior, but something that simply dwells in us because we are human. He pictures vividly the fetus coming to maturity, the fullness of time, bumping and splashing down the birth canal, being brought into an alien environment, scared to death. And that characterizes us not only at the moment of our birth, but throughout all of our life. We are more often scared to death than gargantuan heroes of revolt and rebellion. We're not very heroic sinners, really. I suppose that's why God's first reaction to us is one of compassion. One ought to be compassionate. With people. One ought to be compassionate with oneself. It's not easy to be human. To be human is to have a generic anxiety, a given, with one's humanity. the fragility, the vulnerability of being human. The limited nature of our human existence. The fact that we are always called to make judgments and make decisions on the basis of limited knowledge and insight. Having to decide about things for which we don't have sufficient data. Unable to extricate ourselves for a moment from this human scene in order that we can get a perspective on it. There are those who claim to see things as God sees them, but I've never been sure they're right. Our judgments are always human. We are always limited. We live a fragile existence. And finally, we die. There is a given anxiety with being human. And I suspect that's why God has mercy on us. The psalmist says, God never forgets that fact. After all, we are created by God, and He doesn't forget the stuff with which He's working. And that's good news. That ought to give us some encouragement for ourselves and some compassion one for another. Now, the human person is not a great heroic rebel against God, really, creating all kinds of havoc in a brave new world. Rather, as Paul writes in the 5th chapter of Romans, in this context where he speaks about the demonstration of God's love being precisely in the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that context, Paul describes us with two different words. One is, he speaks of us as being weak or impotent. It was while we were in our weakness and our impotence that the initiative of God was taken to come with redeeming grace. Weakness, impotence. And then a little later he speaks of our hostility. We are at enmity with God. And those two words characterize our human situation very well. Impotence and hostility. Have you ever known a hostile person? You say you're married to one. Ah, no, you're not here, I'm sure. Or maybe for a brief stint, an adolescent growing up in your home manifested a bit of hostility. I sure hope you don't work for one. Hostile people are not easy to live with. Hostile people are dealing with some stuff which they may be aware of or they may be unaware of. The most dangerous ones who have no self-awareness at all, that don't realize the pot, the cauldron that's boiling in their innards. But it manifests itself in hostility. And you know the great generator of hostility? It's impotence. Weakness. It's when we feel powerless. Makes us angry. Hostile. We strike out. Now, Paul says that's a portrait of the sinner. No great, dramatic, tragic hero here. Just a powerless, hostile person. Paul says, for such a person, Christ died. To meet the need of such people, God comes with grace and in compassion provides the healing that empowers and reconciles. In his book, The Spirituality of Imperfection, if I get it in 6 times in this sermon, I get 10% on all copies sold in the next 6 months. I forgot to get your signature on that. Dr. Kurtz makes a very significant distinction. Distinction between spirituality and therapy. The end of therapy is explanation. The end of spirituality is forgiveness. And we need both. We need explanation. We've been short on explanation in the church. I read you out for all of your fallibilities, failures, fickleness, faithlessness, and what have you, and then say, repent or perish. And of course, you do neither. But you get your back up. Because who likes to be addressed that way? When the problem is you don't even understand what's going on. We have majored on condemnation and always just happening to have the solution in our back pocket. If you could fulfill the formula and follow the path. But we've been short on explanation. And so we've driven a lot of thoughtful people out of the church. People who said, something's going on and I don't understand it. And they found a couch somewhere and a shrink. And there's been explanation. But explanation illumines. But by itself, it doesn't heal either. Because when we have gotten all light possible on the subject, when we come to understand, what we still need to hear is, you are forgiven. Forgiveness is necessary for that for which there is no explanation and no excuse. We are anxious. We're scared to death. We feel our impotence, and we strike out in hostility. It's helpful to get a handle on why. It's healing to know that God in grace forgives us. In fact, has forgiveness already simply for the appropriation. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His mercy to those who stand in awe. The Bible is replete with beautiful images of the fact that sin is really no big deal. God has blotted it out as a thick cloud. God has cast it behind God's back. God has buried it in the depths of the sea. The story was told of Jim who got to to heaven one day and fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving all my sin." And Jesus looked at him and said, "What sin?" That's good news. It's all because God loves people. And to be human is enough. And from what I know of you folks, you're human. All too human. God love you.